Good morning, church. What a privilege it is this morning to be with you. It's quite cold in Paul as well, but luckily there's a church and a place where there's a lot of warmth and warm people. So thank you for your welcome this morning. Thank you for the worship team. I don't think they're behind me anymore, but it was great. It was a wonderful time in God's presence. Okay. Just want us to quickly close our eyes so that we can just pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word sets us free. Thank you that your word changes us. I pray, Lord God, for open hearts this morning, Father. I pray that the seeds will fall in fertile ground. I pray, Father, that you will use me to let your kingdom come, to let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that you will speak through me. Holy Spirit, you've got an open place today in my life, Lord God, to be used. I can be used by you, Lord. So speak through me and use me to let your kingdom come. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm quickly going to introduce myself. I'm Kobus Conradi. I'm from Paul, originally from Cyrus. I don't know if anybody's been there. Who's been in Cyrus? Okay, a couple of you guys, okay? Beautiful place. Probably you went there to dig or build a snowman, maybe. And I think with this cold there, in the next couple of weeks, we'll have some snow there, so it's probably a place that you'll see. I grew up on a farm there, and went to Paul my last couple of years of school. And then after that, I went to Stellenbosch, and I've been there for quite a few years. And then I met a guy called Robert, and Robert was teaching me auditing in my second year. I remember that. So I was very welcome this morning when I saw Robert there at the intercession. Okay, so, sorry? I passed auditing. I actually enjoyed it because he was such a good lecturer. Yeah, so it was one of my best subjects at that stage. Okay, but after that, I've got a background of a bit of accounting and then marketing and teaching. So I was a school teacher, and I also did a lot of marketing in property. So I'm a kind of an all-rounder. I enjoy lots of things. I'm not stuck to one thing. So yeah, but it's a privilege this morning to be with you, and I'm going to share the word. We're a couple of guys in the Paul congregation that preaches evening services sometimes in the morning, as well if Pastor Gerard is not there. It's all about leadership development. If we look at our vision as well, is to reach nations and generations through leadership development, discipleship, and church planting. Okay, so that's enough about me. I'm going to start now with a question. Just keep that slide on for the moment. I want to ask you, if I ask you the question, and we talk about a kingdom mindset, speak to somebody next to you and just tell them what you think a kingdom mindset is and what a kingdom is. All right, stop. Give you a few moments. Okay, is there anyone who wants to share a quick word or just something that comes up in your mind who wants to share? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, or afraid to speak. Yes. Okay. Opposite of what you find in the world. Okay. Anyone else? This side. Okay, so to have a kingdom mindset, your mind has to be set on a king, and that king is Jesus. Okay. All right, thanks for your input, because when we start thinking of a topic, or we talk about any topic really, and also when we talk about things in the kingdom or any sermon, etc., if I ask each one separately about a specific topic, they will have different answers because of different worldviews, different upbringing, different things that happen to them in life that gives them a different perspective. So each one of you today will also go out and take something different, because something talked to your heart. There's maybe one thing that the Lord says, listen, but this thing is something that we need to talk about. All right, and that is what's so awesome about the Holy Spirit, because He will speak to each one in a unique way. He doesn't treat everyone in the same manner, because each one is different. He can't do that. He can't treat each one in the same manner, because then He won't get to your heart. But luckily, God knows each one intimately, and He will leave in your heart what needs to be left. Okay, what is a kingdom? It's a country governed, ruled by a king. It could be sovereign rulership and governing influence of the king over his territory. Okay, so there's a domain. A kingdom has a domain. It's got a place. It's got an area. Impacting it with his will, purpose, and intent. Okay, so that king will rule that specific area with his will, with his purpose, and with intent. A kingdom, you have to be intentional to build a kingdom. A kingdom will not be built if you're not intentional about it. The nature of the king is produced in the kingdom. So if we're in God's kingdom, and we spend time with Him, then we're supposed to be changed, to become more like the king, and more like the things that He would love to see in His kingdom. Those things will start happening in your life, and you will also influence other people with that. Okay, what is a king? If we talk about Jesus, a king is a ruler of a nation or territory inherited, and a ruler for life. Okay, so the king will be the ruler of that kingdom for life. Matthew 2 verse 2, Jesus Christ was born a king. Okay, so he didn't become a king later, he was a king at first, from the start. He came preaching the kingdom of God, he died a king. Now he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because Jesus is our king, we are also heirs of his kingdom. What does it mean to be an heir? Who knows what an heir is? You inherit, okay? So, would I be right in saying if we are sons, and that includes all women as well, if we are sons of God, we are all heirs, and if He's the king, that makes us all princes or princesses, if you would call it that, in His kingdom. If we are sons, and I can also just say daughters of God then, we are all part of His kingdom, and we are all heirs to whatever the king has for an inheritance. Okay, so just keep that in mind, that we're also part of God's inheritance. Now, I want to ask you the question, is a kingdom a democracy? Okay, now, in South Africa we've got a democracy. And in many other countries in the world, some people say it works, some people say it don't. But the democracy is totally different and totally different. It's opposite of a kingdom. All right, I'm just going to put up a couple of points. A kingdom versus democracy. Democracy, people are in power. There's a people constitution, people laws, private ownership, private wealth. People competition, individualism, that last one. It's about the individual. It's about you being your own God, really, you making it or not making it. So democracy is all about people, and people vote and people say how things will happen, good or bad. Kingdom, the king is in power. The king's will, his laws, his lordship, is important. And then the last one there, commonwealth. Okay, so it's actually about the good of the people. So the king makes decisions that will influence but will also be beneficial to all the people in the kingdom. And think of kings in the past in the Bible. Think of King David. Think of King Solomon. It went well in the reign of King Solomon and King David, because he was a righteous king. They were righteous kings. They looked after the people's well-being. and it went well with everyone in the kingdom. All right, so that is the heart of a king, that it will go well with the people in his kingdom. Now, to have kingdom thinking, one thing that's very important, we need to renew our mind. Okay, to have a kingdom mindset, our mind needs to be renewed. And it's not like that at the moment or from the start. How can I say? We're all born in sin, all in a fallen nature. So your mindset will be about me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity of myself. Okay? It's not God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's about us. We need to be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if your mind is renewed, you will also know what the will of God is and also do it. Okay, now, I'm going to share a couple of principles on a kingdom today. I'm going to speak about a few things. And I think it was Martin that said that a kingdom is opposite of what we've got in the world. All right, you'll see that the things of the world are opposite in the kingdom of God. All right, so that is one thing that I thought, if you want in a situation want to distinguish if something is of God's kingdom or if it's of the world, you must ask yourself, what will the world do? What will worldly people do? And you have to make a decision then say, okay, but do totally the opposite. Then you'll probably know what the will of God is in a specific situation and what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, if I talk about the opposites, we talk about that Holy Trinity, me, myself, and others in this case. If it's about the kingdom, it's not about you. It's not about your well-being. It's about kingdom thinking is about what can we do for other people? How can we help other people? How can we get out of our comfort zone and make a difference in other people's lives? Then you're going to start moving in the right direction and think kingdom, have a better kingdom mindset. Another thing that's opposite, foolishness is wisdom. Now, if I read the scripture of 1 Corinthians, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. So the gospel to the world is foolishness. People think the gospel, it's something that's archaic, something that has passed away, something that's not happening anymore. People don't worry about, a lot of people don't worry about the gospel. And that's why there's many agnostics and people says, but there's no king, there wasn't a Jesus, or, the Christianity is old age. But God decided to use the foolishness, which people think is foolishness, and he used it, and he came and he sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from our thinking, from ourselves really. He came to save us from that. Another opposite, justice depends on me, or does it depend on God? You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Leave justice over to God. He's righteous. He's faithful. Even if it doesn't happen on this side of eternity, you will take care of problems that we have and people that we want to sort out sometimes. Who's been in a place where you wanted to sort somebody out? I think if we're really, really honest with ourselves, there's sometimes, you know, somebody does something and you really want to sort this person out. Right now. Not later, right now. But a kingdom mindset will tell you, leave it up to God. Give it over to God. Because when you keep it for yourself and you working through this thing, you're actually making yourself sick. Because unforgiveness is a poison that you drink and you hope that other person will die of it. It's poison that you drink and you're killing yourself by drinking this poison. But actually, if you release that person, God can start working in your life and He can use you. Now in the world, we've got love as condition. So if you're, who's all married here? Who's married? Okay, a couple of you. So if your spouse does something that you don't like, you say, okay, but because my spouse or that person didn't do something nice to me, I'm not going to do something nice back to them. Isn't it how we think? That person doesn't deserve, you know, that person doesn't deserve my well-being or my good faith or good acts towards them, etc. But actually, God has an unconditional love. God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, we didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. He just came and He's got an unconditional love. If we start loving people without conditions, people won't feel judged. We've got a couple of people in our cell group at the moment that people at first judged and they weren't included in any cell group. So the person was in the church for I don't know how long and people didn't even include them in a cell group. And the Lord talked to us about speaking to these people and including, and they're good friends of ours now. Really people seeking after God's heart. But because of certain reasons, judgments, I don't know why, people tend to push people aside. Jesus spent time with the sinners. He didn't spend time with the religious people. He said, listen, you religious people, you get your act in order because I don't like the way you treat people. Why does the people have to sit? You know, this rich man, why do you treat him with preference? But a poor man, you don't. You don't even make time or effort to welcome them. So our mindset is sometimes of judging people, of people has to perform. They will only get love if they perform. Maybe in your house, you had to perform. You had to get good grades. Maybe you had to perform on the sports field or whatever. But that's imperfect love. Our earthly fathers and mothers don't know it. Don't have everything because they're still people. And we fail sometimes. But God has an unconditional love. And we must trust the Holy Spirit to help us to start loving people without conditions. Because then our churches will start filling up. Because people won't feel that they're not worthy. They will feel that they're welcome in any circumstance, in any place. Again, love those who love you. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Who of you doesn't want to be a son in God's house? I believe all of us wants to be sons in God's house. And to be sons, we need to do what the kingdom says we need to do. And sometimes, or many times, we will miss it. But luckily, God is faithful. Luckily, God is gracious. But we need to turn to Him. The opposite, love even your enemies. Pray for them. Okay? Very difficult one, but that's what God requires of us. Hoarding versus sowing. Sowing and reaping. You all know the principle of sowing and reaping. If you look at rich people, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, just keeps on hoarding, getting more and more. But it will never be enough. The kingdom of God says, sow and you will reap. Give more away and God will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Okay? I want to encourage you, not only of because many a time people only think of sowing and they think of money. You can sow your time. You can sow your time in people's lives by spending time with them or helping them. It's also a seed. It's something of you. But God, trust God in that, and when you speak to Him about it, know that whatever you sow, you will reap. If you sow good seeds, you will reap a harvest. Start spending time with people. I think the biggest resource in our life and the most precious one is time. If you are able to give time to people, they will know that it's really precious because people are too busy. I think sometimes in my life I say to my wife, love, we're too busy. We need to make more time, but we need to make effort. You have to make a conscious decision to start spending time with people and allowing them, because otherwise you're just going to build your own kingdom. But we need to make more time for people and spend more time with them. Another one is weakness is actually strength, because in the world they say you must be strong. A man can't, he must always be strong. He can't, cowboys don't cry. You've heard that, people saying that. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. This is Paul speaking, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Who's been in a place of weakness or where people insulted you and then you say, bring it on? Who's done that? Paul is here in a place where he's persecuted, he's been in jail, you read in some of the other passages, I think there was a place where they actually stoned him and then the disciples prayed for him and he got rose from the dead. Because when you stone a person, they make sure you're truly dead before they go on. Okay? He went through a lot of things. When he was in the jail, I think it was him and Silas, and they started worshiping God. They started praising God, even in that time of difficulty. But when people sometimes insult us, we will start speaking to all our friends. Can you believe what this guy has said, eh? You won't believe this. Come listen here. Come, let me tell you what this guy has said. And let me tell you what I think of him and of what he said. And when we've got hardships, we moan to God. We say, Lord, yeah, it's so hard. Why don't you make it easier for me? Why don't you to help me to overcome this circumstances, and that, you know, I'm just struggling, and it keeps on. It's been like this for a month now, Lord God. Just remember that the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. Okay, And sometimes we moan about a week of hardship, or 2 weeks, or a month. But I just get challenged here and I say, okay. Or if I'm persecuted. Many times we're persecuted and people say something bad. Other countries, people get killed for being Christians. For when I'm weak, I'm strong. We need to change our mindset. We need to say, Lord, I'm weak, now you can use me. Joshua, Gideon, all of them, many of the people in the Bible, David, they were at a stage where they were weak, but God made them strong. They were open, they were humble before the Lord, and they said, Lord, use me to let your kingdom come. And then Gideon with 300 men battled a whole army. I'm going to read you a quote of Miles Monroe. My greatest fear is that the spirit of religion is lurking in so many churches today. Instead of men and women of God preaching about and applying kingdom principles to everyday living, they have given the spirit of religion the power to cloud the path of others. We all know that the relationship with God is where we must be. But I think sometimes we're so religious about doing things in a certain way or doing good deeds or whatever. But if it's not from God, if it's not inspired by God, we're actually just doing religion and dead works. We need to ask the Lord and say, Lord, from my place of intimacy with you, what should I do? Where should I make a difference? What should I be involved in or not? Because sometimes we do good things because people can see it. But I think many a time prayer warriors will be one day in heaven, they will sit closest to the Lord because nobody knew what they were doing in the prayer closet where nobody could see them. And I think prayer is one of the most powerful weapons, and we're not using it in the church. And I'm just encouraging you today, start using prayer in the prayer closet, because there is where the real battles gets won. I'm going to group it in another principle about giving. And giving lordship over to Him. What does it mean to give lordship over to Him? It pretty much means you sitting upon your own throne with your own crown on. And taking off your own crown, getting off your own seat, and saying, Lord, I'll rather sit on the floor and let you sit on the throne of my life. We need to give lordship over to Him. We need to give everything. That's all. Your work, your desires, your dreams, everything over to Him. Giving Him the first fruits, giving our best. Not the leftovers. We offer our first fruits to God for His purposes, to acknowledge and honor our understanding that everything we receive or possess is a blessing and gift from Him. Everything you own. People boast about they made it in life, they're rich because of what they did. No. Everything you own, everything you've got, every job you've got, every promotion you get, it's all from the Lord. That person, that boss, can't decide to give you a promotion until God said, give him the promotion. We're all dependent on God. So give him your first fruits, give him your best of your time, your best of your income, not our leftovers. Giving also frees you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We all know that. When last, we all like it to receive gifts. But when last have we given something precious of ourselves to other people? And say, and then enjoying it. Don't give it grudgingly. When you give somebody a gift, be happy about it. Be blessed because you're in the position to give. A lot of people don't have to be able to give to others. So give off your best. If you give a present, give a proper present. Don't give a, you know, ach, ek moet maar so ietsie gee. I must give him something small. Give him something of your best. Because maybe you sacrificed to be able to give that. And then it's very special and very precious. Giving is also worship. Because you're giving back to the one who first gave. Jesus gave his only son. He gave his best. So when we give of whatever we want to give, it's actually worship to God. The third area that I want to speak about is duty and service. We serve Jesus because Jesus was also a servant. He's a servant leader. We're just following his example. We must serve Jesus because we want to serve Jesus, not because we have to. It's not an obligation. It's actually because we want to. But it's a service unto him nonetheless. And there's one of the scriptures that we read today as well. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything that you worry about, seek first the kingdom of God. Not our own kingdom. Because if we seek our own kingdom, we'll get our own kingdom. But we will never be fulfilled. It's only when you seek the kingdom of God, I've realized in my own life, when you seek the kingdom of God, that actually you feel fulfilled and blessed. That's one thing I realized in business as well. Doing business, I had somebody, a PA, working for me. But there was an arrangement at the work that half of the time she works for me and half of the time she works for the company as well. And I'm telling you, I learned firsthand this principle of not serving two masters. You can only serve one. Because the one will always pull more. The one will always pull more and want more. And because she was also working for the company, there's a contract on the table. And then all my work must just be left there in my time. And she must just go on with. So I realized firsthand that you cannot serve two masters at the same time. You must decide which one do you want to serve. Look at that scale. Do you want to serve God's kingdom? Or do you want to serve the world? It's a decision we all have to make. Because every decision you make, you'll either make a decision for the kingdom or you'll make a decision for the world. And after today, I trust and I believe that God will start showing you what is his kingdom and what is the world so that you can start making that decisions for him. The other thing of a kingdom, we need to steward. The earth belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we are only stewards. Nothing belongs to us. We must steward whatever the God in heaven gave us. It might be little. You must think, listen, that person got that much to steward. And I only have this little bit. But God also says in one of the parables, that whatever he gives you, you must steward to the best of your ability. To the one he gives 5 or 10 or 100 or whatever amount of talents. But maybe if he gave you only one, you must steward it to the best of your ability. Because it's worship unto God. Everything you do, you're stewarding for the Lord. Your job, you think you're doing it unto men. You think you're doing it for your boss. I want to encourage you to think of your job as a place where you can steward whatever God has given you and do it and give it to him as worship. So whatever you do, it's worship unto the Lord. And whatever you steward on earth, it's not stewardship for yourself or for your kingdom. It's stewardship of God. So that is why we have to, in our workplaces, also do everything to the best of our ability. Not because we like the boss, not because he's nice to us or not nice to us. It's just a place where you do it and say, I'm doing everything that I do as unto the Lord. I'm going to leave a couple of keys to the kingdom to you. It will tie in a bit with what we've discussed as well. But these are keys that I believe will help you to be able to unlock God's kingdom and to be effective and faithful in His kingdom as well. The first one is, where do we get the keys? That's maybe the best question to ask. Where do we get the keys to be able to unlock the kingdom? And the scripture says in Matthew 16 verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And it's Jesus speaking. So if you don't know, if you want to unlock the key, the doors of the kingdom, you must ask yourself, where do I get the keys? And it's from Jesus. So you need to spend time with Him. The more you start spending time with Him, the more you'll get the keys to be able to unlock situations which is currently shut in your life. And just the next part of that, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. All of us has been in situations where you feel the enemy is coming into this place and he is tormenting me in a situation. And you feel in a corner, you can't do anything about it. But I'm telling you today, when you go to Jesus and you say, Lord, give me the authority so that I can speak over certain circumstances. And start speaking into situations where it's not happening at the moment. Sometimes you must just persevere and say, Lord, you've given me the keys. I will bind and I will loose. I will say this situation will change because I'm a son of God. And I speak into that situation and I take authority over that situation. And I say, this will stop now in the name of Jesus. And then you start speaking what is supposed to happen in that situation so that the situation can turn around. God has given us the keys. One of these keys is to bind and loose in situations. Because God says whatever is in heaven must also happen on earth. In heaven, everything is perfect. Nothing in heaven is not perfect. And we have dominion by saying, I speak into this situation. This person that's sick, I say now in the name of Jesus, God will heal this person. This person who's demonically influenced, I speak now. I bind that demonic spirit. I say it will go under the feet of Jesus. We've got the authority. We need to claim the kingdom because every soul that comes out of the kingdom of darkness into heaven is a soul that is one for God. And there's actually two. You know, when you take one away from the one side and you put it to the other side, there's a difference of two. I don't know if you realize that. But it's important that we start speaking and taking authority over situations. And let heaven come on earth, because that is what God called us to do. Another one's repentance. I think a lot of people, a lot of churches nowadays preach that we don't need to repent. What did Jesus do when He came? What did John the Baptist do? The first thing he said, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And nowadays we don't repent. No, it's all is fine. I'm all under grace and everything. It's great. But we mustn't miss it by saying we don't have to go to God and repent of what we've done wrong. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1 verse 15. Another key is faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God Himself says that He will reward you. You can only please Him with faith. It's impossible to please Him, He says in His Word, without faith. So we need to have faith and start trusting Him that He will look after your life, that He's got the best intention for you. You might be in a difficult situation and you think, what is happening? I don't know what to do. God probably doesn't love me. And that's not the truth. God loves you under all circumstances. He's loved you before you even chose Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God will reward you. He's fair. Maybe the world's not fair, but God is fair. But He will reward you in this life or the next. But He will reward you. And it's not up to us to decide when it will be. Just be faithful. Just be diligent. And keep on seeking Him. He will reward you in the due time. Another one is what I call radical obedience. Okay, and I'm going to speak about a couple of areas. 1 Peter 2 verse 13 to 14. Submit yourself for the men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. God calls us to be obedient. In our workplaces, to be good citizens of this country, to make a difference in people's lives, and to be obedient to the laws, etc. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you feel, listen, but why should I do it? Nobody's going to see it. But God sees. Be obedient because God will bless you for being obedient to the authorities as well. To obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel. I don't know if you know that story of Samuel. And God actually said that to obey Him is better than to offer bulls and sacrifices as well. We need to obey God radically. And sometimes God will tell you to do something in a mall, and you must go to some person, and you must pray for that person or tell that person something. Start being obedient, because God will start speaking you and give you words of knowledge and something to speak into a person's life. But be obedient. If God tells you to do something, do it immediately. Don't wait. I've seen in my life where I've been obedient, then the Lord starts speaking more. If you want the Lord to start speaking to you, start being obedient to one thing He tells you. And He will tell you the next and the next. The reason why He's not telling you something new is because the old command that He asked you to do, you haven't done yet. So He can't give you two commands at the same time, then you won't know which one to do. So you must first do the first one that He asked you to do, and then He will give you a new thing to do. And I'm telling you, your life can be really exciting if you start listening to what God is telling you. And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. So if we start obeying Him, we'll also start knowing Him more. God is going to speak to you in certain areas. Tomorrow, today, the day after. Start listening, start obeying, start doing those things. And you will go on an exciting adventure with the Lord. Another key is humility. We're almost finished. Humility. Obedience to God begins with humility. Sometimes you have to eat humble pie. Sometimes you must be the one, even though you feel the other person must apologize to you. You must go and apologize first. And maybe in that situation, the person will listen and you can win a friend again by being the one and say, okay, I'm sorry for what I've done. I had to do it a couple of times in my life. Praise the Lord. In those circumstances, there's been a couple of good outcomes. Not all of them will be good outcomes. Sometimes you will apologize and the person will not even reply. Or say he agrees or whatever. But I want to encourage you to start being humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Pride is a problem because we want to say we've done it, we've arrived, etc. Jesus was a humble king. He was a king, but he was humble. And if we can start learning to be humble before the Lord, he will start lifting us up. Don't lift up yourself. You can only lift up yourself to a certain point. God can raise you a lot higher. But we need to be humble and our knees before him. We need to say, Lord, you must exalt me. Let me not exalt myself. One of the last keys is honoring, to honor people. Do nothing with selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Start honoring people. Start going to people and saying, listen, I really respect you. I really like having you around. I really enjoy and I really think what you've done is great. Start honoring people. Say, done something good, thank them, bless them. Because I think a godly culture is a culture where we start honoring other people. But I don't think many a time we do it. We need to honor people. We need to say, what can I do for you? How can I value you higher? Because to honor a person is to esteem them higher than yourself. Right, so lift other people up, bless people, pray for them. And you will start seeing what the Lord does in your life as well. If you start honoring people, people will start honoring you, sowing and reaping again, eh? Start honoring people because that's what God expects of us. Another key is discipline. Whew, that's a difficult one, eh? That's probably the hardest one. If you, not only in the kingdom, but in workplaces, they've done lots of research, and then one of the things that they say for people to be successful in a worldly sense is to have discipline, to work hard. An athlete that wins 100 meters at the Olympics didn't get there by not having discipline. They had to work hard. They had to be disciplined in what they eat, how they train, where they go, what they do and what they don't do. Discipline is doing what you know needs to be done, even when you don't want to do it. Okay. I want to encourage you, start spending time with the Lord because you want to spend time with him. Not seeing it as a chore that you have to do. I must read my Bible tonight, or I must pray now. See it as an adventure. See it as what is the Lord going to tell me now? What new assignment will he give me when I spend time with him? What will I read from the word that I can apply in my life that will change me? Areas that I battle with, maybe if I spend time with the Lord now, he will show me. If I need direction in my life and I start spending time with him, he will start giving me answers. Okay, but we need to be disciplined. And don't see it as a bad thing. See it as, I can't wait to spend time with the Lord tomorrow morning or tonight. Second last key is the blood of Jesus. Start applying the blood of Jesus to your life. Start asking, praying the blood of Jesus over a situation in your life. Because the Israelites did it. They took the blood and they put it on the doorposts. And the angel of death passed over. I've seen many times when I prayed the blood of Jesus over a situation where it stopped. I was on a mission trip in Malawi where I felt attacked by a demonic spirit one evening. And the next day, I was quite new in the Lord, so I didn't know all these things. And then one lady said, but you're telling me this, but have you prayed the blood of Jesus over you last night? I said, what? The blood of Jesus over me? How does that work? And from that moment on, I decided to pray the blood of Jesus over situations. Just your protection, because the blood covers a multitude of sins. The blood does more. All the benefits of the blood, we can't go into that. That's another sermon. But we need to start speaking the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus into situations. Pray the blood of Jesus over your family. We just a testimony a couple of weeks ago at this one lady's house. They asked us to come and pray at the house. Just pray God's peace into this place. We anointed the place and we prayed for it. We saw them, I think, love, was it yesterday? Yesterday we saw them in Pick and Pay. They said, they just want to tell us now what happened now. They had trouble with their finances, and they say they don't know. They're giving out money, but there's more money in their bank account. They don't know what is happening, where this money is coming from. They haven't been in a situation where they've been able to have extra money to buy clothing, for example. In the last 2 weeks, she's bought her 2 new dresses, but this money's still there. She doesn't know what happened. But we started praying the blood of Jesus into the situation. And the whole house and the whole circumstance in the house started changing. And I believe if we start applying God's principles in our lives, our life will not be the same again. It's the last one, accountability. Accountability towards God, myself, and to others. It's about community. It's not about having a person who's checking you up and, you know, what sin did you do now? It's not about that. Accountability is more about a place where you do things in community. Because a lone ranger will not make it in the kingdom of God. If you're on your own, you set yourself up for trouble and for problems. Start doing community together. Start doing it together. Praying for situations. And that is why we need cell groups. Because on a weekly basis, you've got an appointment. You can't miss it. You have to be there. You have to have fellowship. We need to pray together to overcome certain circumstances or celebrate with other people. Start celebrating with people. When enough with this, I was doing research in a school. And one of the things that I found in this one school is that they celebrated the people in the school, the teachers. They celebrated the teachers. Whenever they've done something good, they celebrated them. And I went into other schools, and the morale is low, man. Things are not going well there. But in the one school, celebration takes place. In the other school, it doesn't take place. In the one school, the morale is high, and people are going out of their way to do effort for whatever the principal asks them to do. But it's because it's a place where it's a community that celebrates each other. And I want to encourage you to start celebrating, because the kingdom of God will start coming. You'll be in a much better space. You will be much more amped to start doing things in the kingdom of God if we do it together and we're accountable towards each other. I'm ending off with this. God spoke to each one individually about certain things in their lives where maybe your mindset is not a kingdom mindset. And it's not a place of shame, because we never arrived. The one day when we're in heaven, then we arrived. But before then, we will still have space for improvement, places where, and I want to encourage you, the Lord is speaking to you, and I'm going to give some time now about certain things in your life. Maybe through the talk, He spoke to different things to different people. I want to encourage you to go to Him and say, Lord, I repent in this area of my life where I'm struggling, where I don't apply your kingdom principles, where I'm not using your keys that you're giving to me today. I want to ask you, Lord, use me. Change that situation, but I want to be open.